Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the OPAP first quarter 2017 interim management statements conference call. Please note that a PDF presentation for the results is now available on OPAP's website, www.opap.gr, under the section for investor relations. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Mr. Damian Cope, CEO of OPAP S.A. Mr. Cope, please go ahead.
Thank you very much, operator, and good morning or good afternoon to everyone. I'm delighted to welcome you all to OPAP's Q1 2017 investor conference call. Thank you also for accommodating the change in date for our call. Although it's a quarterly update, a lot has happened in OPAP since our last call, and as such, we'd like to update you on our progress so far in 2017. I'll shortly provide a brief business review, including an update on the delivery of our strategic priorities. First, let me pass you over to our CFO, Michael Hoost, who will provide you with a brief overview of our financial performance and the underlying economic trends. Michael, over to you.
Yeah. Thank you, Damian. Good afternoon, morning, everybody. Depends when you are. Macro-wise, Q1 2017 was a stabilization quarter, which is not negative given the significant drop in the most metrics in the past couple of years. In a nutshell, GDP for the quarter advanced by 0.4% on year-over-year basis, helped by private consumption, which is up by 1.6%, and gross fixed capital formation, which is up by 12%. Retail sales for the quarter, after excluding automotive fuels, also increased by 2.5% year-on-year. Going forward, we believe that Q1 trends clearly indicate that upon successful conclusions of the negotiations on an EU level, Greece will most probably be gradually reverting back to the positive growth rates. Turning back to us, OPAP, in this kind of environment, our company managed to report GGR growth of 5.3%, and on top, a higher NGR increase of 6.2%. Note that on our absolute GGR and NGR numbers would normally be higher by approximately 5 million-6 million during the quarter, as first quarter had three less operating days, mostly attributed or mostly due to the agent strikes, the change of the contract. EBITDA in a like-for-like basis stayed flat at 78.5 million, which we consider as a positive development given the increased OpEx related to the implementation of several new projects and aforementioned three days less in the quarter. As an example, you probably have identified that staff cost rose by almost 14%, which is explained behind the workforce enhancement in order to support VLT rollouts and our current network needs, while IT rose by 6.4%, owing again to VLTs and new systems implementation. You may remember that we have proactively informed you about this kind of expenses increase, which will also continue throughout the year. On the other hand, on the positive side, we are now coming closer to the time where the revenue stream from VLTs, virtuals, and SSBTs will gradually be growing as well. On the expense side, I would also like to add that this was the last quarter of the previous agent commission scheme, having turned from April onwards to a definitely fairer for everybody NGR-based scheme. The new structure does not lead to any material difference in the cost in 2017, as opposed to 2018 onwards, where cost savings will be realized. Finally, concluding with the P&L, net profit for the quarter compared to the adjusted Q1 2016 figure came down by 8.7% on the back of increased net interest due to higher debt and an increased effective tax rate. As for the balance sheet, our cash amounted to 476 million, which when taking into account the gross debt of 559 million, including the proceeds from the recent issuance of the 200 million local bond, shaped our net debt position at 83 million euros. During the quarter, we proceeded with investment that added up to 24 million, the bulk of which related to the last tranche of the horse racing license payment in January. Our CapEx will accelerate going forward on the back of the investment needs related to the VLTs, SSBTs, virtuals, and our network, which amount to more than 120 million euro for the next 2 years. Talking about CapEx, I would also like to refer to the recently announced increase of our participation in our subsidiary Neurosoft. As you may know, we acquired an extra 38%, increasing our total participation to almost 68%. Neurosoft is listed in AIM, which is the market of which is the Italian stock exchange for small and medium enterprises, and is active in the delivery of various services in the area of sports betting, ICT, factoring and cybersecurity. We believe that following our successful cooperation, OPAP can now create meaningful economies of scale and exploit further Neurosoft strategic advantages by having essentially in-house the field service expertise and human capital needed in order to successfully proceed with all the new project rollouts, at the same time bringing IT sports betting know-how. Neurosoft will also benefit on a standalone basis as our stronger involvement will hopefully serve in many ways as a facilitator into competing for larger scale products. When it comes to our individual segment performance, lotteries were up by 11%, explained in the most part by the jackpot rollovers in Joker, which essentially led to doubling the game's revenue for the quarter. It is true that rollovers has not been that favorable since that in Q2, but this kind of volatility is normal for the game. When it comes to Keno, the game took the heaviest hit from the agent strike, in the absence of which trading would be similar to our internal projections. Going forward, the rollout of both VLTs and virtual games should gradually affect Keno, but then again, this should not be seen as a surprise. In any case, the new games offering should lead to a considerable incrementality. On the contrary, sports betting reported almost 7% contraction for the quarter. As communicated in the past, we have already identified the corrective moves that need to take place, and we are proceeding towards both the introduction of SSBTs, which should commence in the second half of this year, as well the relaunch of new online platform, which should be out, let's say, in the beginning of the next year. That said, it is probably true that the short-term pressure will persist, taking into account that, as evident in other operators' figures as well, football results in Q2 were so far quite favorable for the punters rather than for the operators. Scratch and passives, on the other hand, continued their outperformance, standing higher by almost 4% for the quarter. Note that the growth came as a result of our actions, mainly the introduction of an auto-replenishment tickets tool that facilitates stock management, which started in the second half of 2016 and still continue carrying a positive impact. Going forward, we recently launched new ticket series and stay ultra in order to properly address any side effects from the new products. Lastly, in Q1, we managed to start the rollout of the VLTs. Revenues for the quarters reach almost 2 million. The number is obviously, and as expected, quite small due to the very early stage of the rollout, which should pick up pace during the second half of the year. I'm sure that Damian will tell you more on those, and with that I'm passing over to Damian. Damian, please.
Thanks, Michal. I'll now update you on our progress in Q1 on each of the areas related to our 8 strategic priorities, which, as I have repeatedly stated, act as the framework underpinning the delivery of our 2020 vision. Starting with customer obsession, we've now created a dedicated customer experience team which oversees all cross-channel customer feedback for products, services, and processes, and suggests actions to further improve customer experience. At the same time, we've executed more than 40 regular and ad hoc research studies, reaching around 17,000 customers and improving our understanding of our brand, our games, our stores, and our CSR activities. In terms of our network, and as we outlined during our call earlier this year, we've now moved the agent network onto the new contract. Around 90% of our agents have signed up to the new contract, which also incorporates the new commission scheme. We firmly believe that this paved the way for a more balanced cooperation and the potential for an improved level of performance generally. At the same time, we are well underway with our investment in upgrading the agency's infrastructure, significantly improving their technological setup, preparing the ground for the delivery of new products and services. Last but not least, more than 3,000 agencies are now accepting debit cards, and our target is to cover the entire network in Q3. As for our people, OPAP continues to be amongst the largest employers in Greece, which, as we all know, unfortunately still has by far the highest employment rate in Europe. So far in 2017, we've hired over 200 people into OPAP and directly or indirectly generated over 500 new jobs outside of the group. I'm pleased that at the same time, we continue to work towards the development of our existing people with a number of new employee engagement activities. Turning now to our products, where we started the year with the introduction of VLTs. Our VLT operation started in January with 4 pilot gaming halls, while by the end of the quarter we had opened 53 gaming halls and placed VLTs in an additional 12 OPAP shops for a total number of just over 1,350 VLT machines. We knew at the start of the year that this would be one of our most challenging projects of 2017, and this remains the case. Prior to the start of the rollout, we had undertaken a huge amount of planning, but like any new project, it is only in the execution that you identify exactly where to optimize and improve the overall process. Our deployment rate will therefore continue to accelerate through the end of Q2 and into the second half of 2017. While we are aiming to complete the full rollout of 16,500 VLTs by the end of Q1 2018, which is 1 month ahead of the deadline of the 1st of May 2018, it is fair to say that we continue to face the challenges of overcoming many technical and other hurdles in our delivery of this major program of work. Today, we have just over 2,500 VLTs in operation, and subject to obtaining the necessary regulatory approvals and certifications, we expect to have approximately 100 gaming halls open by the end of June, and around 250 OPAP stores with VLTs. As Michal commented, we are obviously just at the start of our VLT journey, and so initial numbers reported in Q1 are limited. However, based on what we have seen so far, we are cautiously optimistic that we will be able to deliver and meet our longer-term forecasts. As witnessed in other markets, VLT performance tends to ramp up over a period of time for a number of reasons. In Greece, our Play gaming halls stand for a brand new gaming concept across Greece, but one that is restricted from almost all marketing or promotion. In addition, you should remember that unlike most other markets, every VLT customer in Greece, whether in a gaming hall or an OPAP shop, must be 21 and is required to complete a full ID and registration process before he or she can play any machine. In our assumptions, we've therefore assumed a period of between 6 to 18 months before a gaming hall reaches initial maturity. And for OPAP shops, however, where there is already an established customer base, we expect a shorter time to maturity. In line with this view, and as evident through the chart on our slide 19 of the presentation, we see that locations that are open for 1 to 3 weeks generate, on average, roughly less than 60% of the GGR of locations that have been active for more than 10 to 12 weeks. While we're carefully trying to identify any meaningful trends, be it relative performance by game, vendor, agent, or location, it's still too early to share any of this data. However, we do expect to be able to do so within our Q2 update later in the year. Shortly after the end of Q1, we launched our new virtuals product and rolled it out across the entire network during May. Initial performance is encouraging, but as with VLTs, it's still very much early days, and we'll be able to share much more information with you within our Q2 update. With regards to technology, we are now well into the significant transformation program. We recently announced a strategic partnership with OTE, who will help us in the modernization of our shop infrastructure and connectivity. In terms of timelines, we remain on track to complete the major platform migrations by the summer of 2018. I will repeat what I've said before, that OPAP is undergoing an unprecedented level of technological change in what is a complex and challenging program of work. It involves changing almost every part of technology across our estate. It means that we will undertake over 25,000 technical visits to our shops over the next 12 months. As part of this process, we are now close to launching our first SSBTs, subject to final regulatory approval, and we expect these to be well received by our customers. In terms of our CSR activities, we recently launched our third pillar, employment, joining health and sport. In this respect, we've initiated a business growth program which supports 20 small and medium business enterprises in the development of their operations. Aside from the employment opportunities that this initiative will create, it also tangibly demonstrates our ongoing commitment to help restore economic confidence within Greece. Our brand strength continues, and OPAP's official mobile application, OPAP, continued its excellent record by reaching around 1.25 million downloads in total since its launch, more than 220,000 of which occurred during 2017. In addition, we've had more than 32 million scan slips in 2017, which allows users to check whether their betting slip has won. We've also strengthened further our presence in social media with interactive content for Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And as a result, our Facebook pages are now one of the most visited destinations in Greece in terms of the sum of their interactions, reaching more than 5 million Facebook users. Finally, we continue to maintain a constructive dialogue with the Hellenic Gaming Commission and other relevant public authorities. And we are pleased to see the ongoing work by the HGC in adding to the number of blacklisted websites. So in summary, it was a solid first quarter with a good progress in all of our key areas of focus. There still remains a huge amount of work to do in 2017, but the OPAP team is working well. We're all very much focused on delivering on our objectives for the year. With that, I conclude my opening statement, and we're now ready to answer any questions you may have. Thank you for your time and attention.
The first question will come to the line of Mr. Kourtesis Iakovos with Piraeus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. My first question has to do with VLTs. If you could share with us what would be the adjusted number of VLT machines that would be fully operational for the 90 days period during first quarter. And I can see in your presentation that you have in the slide 19 that more than 10 weeks performance is in line with your expectations. Could you share with us what would this mean in terms of net drop per VLT per day? And I would like also to ask about your total CapEx. You talked about 120 million. If you could break this for us, this 120 million, I can understand that some goes to Eurosoft. What would be the amount for the IT system, land-based VLTs, SSBTs for the year? And if you could repeat, till now you have 2,500 VLTs on operation. Thank you very much.
Okay, so thank you for the questions. This is Damien. I'll take the VLT questions and I'll let Mikhail answer the CapEx question. I'm not going to give you any details on individual performance, and that's kind of for obvious reasons, because if they're higher than your expectations, then I think a lot of observers might get overly excited about it. If they're lower, I don't want people to get overly depressed about the performance. What we are reluctant to give you is data, which is in some cases a matter of weeks for some of the locations that have been open. Saying that, we are going to be preparing some standard KPIs that allow you to have much better visibility of VLT performance. We know it's a significant factor in the whole valuation process, particularly projecting forward into future years for our organization. So we're keen to ensure that you have as much relevant, accurate information as possible. But at the moment, it really is just a bit too early, I'm afraid. So we're not going to give that on this call, but certainly in Q2, once we have some more data and some more momentum and we feel more confident about some of these trends, then we're happy to do so. So you shouldn't read into that that we are either significantly below or significantly above. As I said, overall, we're cautiously optimistic that we're going to deliver on our numbers. Just on your final point, though, yes, I can confirm that as of today, we have just over 2,500 VLTs actually in operation. And as I said, we're hoping to have 100 gaming halls open by the end of this month. And we'll obviously confirm that on our next call. And around 250 shops. And just in terms of the ongoing rollout for the rest of the year, you should assume probably 30 to 40 gaming halls a month approximately. There's some seasonality in there, obviously, because we have the summer period coming up. So I know on previous calls I've said straight line, but in the real world, nothing is ever straight line. So if you can allow me that, then as a guide, we're looking to do, again, this is all subject to the usual regulatory approvals and that we have to go through for every single location, around 30 to 40 gaming halls every month.
Yeah.
And on CapEx, I'll hand over to Mecca.
I would just add to the question on the wheel, how many was for 9 days. I think you can see from the slide 18 in the presentation that in January there was basically just the pilot and a few machines, so it was like 200 machines, and those machines are there for, let's say, the whole quarter, so it's almost nothing. Yeah? So it was like less than 200 machines, but really for, like none of the machines were really for the full 90 days, because we started around the 8th of January or 11th of January. So then with regards to the CapEx, I think the numbers that to some extent we communicated already in the first, let's say, call this year, it was around 120 million euros, out of which, let's say, around 20 million was for the SSBTs and virtuals in stores, about 25 million for the VLT rollouts, including, let's say, some IT system for the VLTs. But let's say the rest, around 7 million, goes into the upgrades in the agencies and upgrade of our IT systems and preparation for the transformation of the IT systems. So this is the split.
Okay, just a clarification. You said less than 200 machines for the full 90 days period. Is this correct or...?
Yes, less than 200. None of the machines were in the first quarter for the 90 days because we started in January, in 11th of January. But let's say these 200 machines which were there as of end of January, it was basically a pilot run in January in which we were testing everything, whether it works, and then we started with the rollout. Yeah. So for the first quarter, that's the situation.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question comes to line of Thrasiotis Stamatis with Eurobank Equities. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi there, and thank you very much for taking my questions. Let me start with the first question on also on VLTs. Do you have some sort of feedback from the game hall operators that you wish to share with us with respect to the... I don't know, the general characteristics of the players that have endorsed this type of activity so far. So I'm basically wondering whether they've reported to you that we've actually seen some sort of migration of punters from illegal channels to the VLT venues. Related to VLTs, have you actually decided on how many of the agent outlets fulfill the requirements for the deployment of VLTs? So that's my first question. And second question would be regarding subcontracted machines. Is there any indication when you actually intend to proceed with the RFI for these, please? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for the questions. So first one on demographics. It's always hard, obviously, because not many people want to admit that they are a customer of a legal gaming location. But we see in the customers that are playing VLTs, either in the gaming halls or our shops, some are definitely people who've played these games before or versions of these games before. Some are new. We know firsthand that some have played in illegal gaming halls before. We clearly don't have any statistics on that because it's an impossible. We would love to have a clearly defined number on that, but it's impossible to get it. So if I guess the indirect question is, are we managing to successfully migrate customers from illegal gaming locations into our own locations? I think the answer is yes, we are. To what degree, it's very hard to know. We certainly know that the overall feedback in terms of the level of customer service that we give customers that come to our location. So again, you've got to remember they come in, they spend a few minutes with us completing the registration form. So that whole process is something that we were, and probably like you, interested to know how much of a barrier that would be. Certainly it's not, in our eyes, a huge barrier right now because we've seen a significant number of customers go through that process. The environment of our gaming halls generally is much nicer and more accommodating for our players. And in terms of the cabinets and the games themselves, not just technically, with a higher RTP or payout ratio than the games that are played in the illegal gaming halls, but also some very high quality products from our four different vendors. So we are definitely attracting both new and existing customers. To what degree, I think it's too early to say, but we're confident we're doing the right thing. To one sort of demographic, I'm happy to share with you that in terms of our registered customers, we have about 75% men, 25% women. Second question was around VLTs and shops and how many. No, there's no fixed number. Again, as you will probably be aware, a lot of our shops are actually quite limited in terms of space. And with the introduction of SSBTs as well, I know it might sound a bit silly, but the practical world of dealing with an estate as large as ours is just physically, have we got enough space and can we justify taking up the space from one or more VLTs or however many individual shops that we go to? That is an evolving process that we're continuing to refine and optimize, and that will probably continue realistically for many years, but certainly over the next 6 to 12 months. We'll be able to share with you every quarter how we're doing in terms of the split between machines that are in our shops and machines that are in our gaming halls. So again, I'm not trying to dodge the question. It's more that we don't have a precise number, but we'll trend to a number over the various different months as we progress, and we'll be certainly be happy to share with you exactly. As you've seen, the first 3 months in the chart on slide 18, will continue to give you both that information and then more information on performance and other KPIs generally. And I'm sorry, was there a third question?
Thank you for the clarification. Yeah, just asked about the subcontracted machines, the ones that will be sub-licensed to third parties. Is there any update on this? When should we expect the process basically to kick off?
Well, we've according to the law, we've prepared and sent everything to the HGC for approval. We've done everything that we need to do. So it's very much in their hands. Obviously, the sooner we have some kind of outcome, the better. But we've certainly done as much as we can do.
Okay, that's clear. Thank you. And sorry, just a follow-up on the, because you mentioned HGC, and I remember that I wanted to ask. You briefly talked about the, you know, how the regulatory framework is somewhat restrictive, and therefore, you know, this obviously makes the ramp-up period for VLTs a bit longer. I'm just wondering whether you are, you know, in discussion with the regulator so that they can maybe, you know, relax some of the requirements, for example, you know, making the VLT venues a bit more visible, I don't know, to the people. Are you doing this? Are you considering doing it, or I don't know.
Well, I'm not sure I said that the regulatory process was delaying our rollout. What I did say is that just the practicalities of rolling out and opening that many locations with all of the necessary certifications, particularly local ones, that have to be executed. I mean, just to I won't bore you now with the details of the amount of paperwork that it takes to certify each location, but it is quite remarkable and very time-consuming. So a lot of the challenges we're facing is just the sheer volume of tasks that we are having to go through, and that's something that it's something that we just have to accept and get done as quickly as we possibly can. But in terms of the regulatory process, you know, we have approval to proceed with the distribution of our 16,500 VLTs up until May 2018. So that's the point. It's more the practical day-to-day execution of what we've got to get done.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's clear. Thank you.
The next question comes to the line of Mr. Clark Michael with Citibank. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my question. My questions. Just on Joker, the impact of Joker on the lottery, the growth in lottery, and also you mentioned the strikes and impacting Keno. Can you help us understand where, you know, whether that impact or how much that will drop off into Q2, or what the if you neutralize both of those factors, where we would have perhaps seen growth in lottery? That's my first question. And my second question is on sports betting and your mobile offering, and you know, what the growth, how much of sports is now coming on mobile, and what the growth rate is for that. Thank you.
Okay. On Joker, I think as Mikhail outlined, I mean, it's very simple. The more rollovers we have, and it's just like EuroMillions or Lotto in the UK, the more rollovers we have, the bigger the total prize gets, the greater the ticket sales, and ultimately the greater revenues we see. We saw in February this year, the single largest prize ever paid to an individual of just over 16 million, and actually got paid to somebody in Cyprus who are part of our same network. I think the previous prize was won, I think it was around Christmas. So it was about 8 weeks worth of rollovers going from under €1 million all the way up to €16 million. So you can imagine that everyone in Greece and everyone in Cyprus was talking about it, and that's certainly something that we couldn't possibly budget in our projections. We would love to have a rollover every month, or actually doesn't work out. Ideally every couple of months, because then you end up with a sort of a 10 million plus rollover. But that's just something that we have to accept, and that's almost something that you sort of maybe even have to discount out of our numbers, that we get the rollovers or we don't get the rollovers, and there's an underlying sort of core business. On Keno and the strikes, again, we certainly didn't budget for a total of 3 different days where effectively the network was closed. As Mikhail said, without that, we would have been pretty much in line with our previous expectations. It was very much a one-off. In terms of the cost, we're very happy to take that cost, because it was part of the overall process of moving the agent to the new contract. So although painful at the time, it's not a long-term impact on our business. On sports betting, again, we deliberately don't talk about digital or mobile on these calls regularly because we have a very, very small digital business. We know it's a huge opportunity for the organization. We are working hard right now on a brand new platform that will include a very strong mobile sports betting operation. But to be honest, it's not worth discussing on this call, I'm afraid. I wish it was, but right now it's not. Does that answer your questions?
Thank you. Thanks.
We have a follow-up question coming from the line of Mr. Draziotis Stamatis with Eurobank Equities. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi again. Just two very quick follow-ups, I promise. The first one has to do with the gross win margin for your sports betting segment. If you could tell us what that was in Q1 17 and how this compares to the same period last year. And the second question would be with respect to the agents. You said that the new fee structure was implemented in Q2. Have you? I'm just wondering whether you've actually seen any of the agents that had not agreed to this new structure actually, you know, eventually signing it, you know, in the last few weeks. Thank you.
Okay, I'll take the second question, and I'll let Mikhail talk about the sports betting margin. No, I mean, look, we set a very clear deadline, and in all of our discussions with the agents and the representatives of the agents from the unions, we were true to our word in all of our discussions. We set a very clear deadline that we wanted agents to sign up to the new contract by a certain date. The ones that signed up to that contract by that date are very much part of our future. The ones that didn't are now working out their notice, and we are in the process of deciding whether to keep those shops open with other agents or use it as an opportunity to do a bit of fine-tuning for the whole estate, a bit of estate optimization, if you like. So it's not some open-ended offer. We needed people to either embrace the new world and the new relationship or not. As you may remember, we did roadshows across Greece, myself and a number of the senior members of the management team, explaining to agents why it was good to be part of the future. So they had several months to either believe, and if they didn't believe, then that's fine. We wish them well, and there'll be a gradual exit. And so Q1 next year is when those agents will be leaving the network.
Thank you. That's clear. Thank you.
And then on the sports betting margin.
On the margin, I think what we mentioned on the call was that, let's say, the margin is significantly lower, let's say, for the Q2, in which there is kind of football results quite favorable for the punters. So on the first quarter, it was more or less in line with the last year and the margin. But the second quarter is a little bit more under pressure.
Okay, that's good. Okay, thank you.
Excuse me, Mr. Cope. We have no more questions registered this time. You may now proceed with your closing statements.
Thank you very much. Thank you again to everybody for joining us today, and look forward to speaking to you in a few months' time, where I promise we'll give you some more information on VLTs and other matters. Thank you. Good day.